name's Emma.
Hello.
Good to be here on behalf of one another and the Wellcome Trust. It's 1:19 a.m. on the 21st of September 2009. Can I please ask you for your full name, date of birth, and where you come from?
Certainly. It's Alan James Sim. My date of birth is 24/11/61, and I come from Aberdeen in Scotland.
How do you feel now?
A bit apprehensive, but not that bad. But I think, you know, as you closer you get to the actual going up in the plinth, you start to think about it more, so you get a little bit apprehensive, but not too bad.
How did you find out about the project?
Actually, I found out about it through reading about it in the media, and then I have a friend who lives in London, and he said, oh yes, it's been going on, and I looked into it, and I went, oh, that sounds really interesting. And I must admit, I didn't actually know that much about his work before, but I went and looked into his work and went, oh right, I really like some of these things he's done. It's really kind of very interesting conceptual work he's doing. So that was how I kind of, I thought, well, you know, why not be part of some art history?
Can I ask what you're going
to do? Yeah, certainly. I'm going to talk about heroes. I'm going to talk about some people who have been my personal heroes. I'm going to read out bits of their work. I'm going to read out occasionally, when they aren't people who've written things, read out things written about them, and talk about a little bit about the concept of what a hero is.
Can I ask who your heroes are?
Well, I have a number. The ones I'm going to be doing here, I'm going to be reading first from the work of Richard Adams, because Watership Down, although perhaps not looked upon as great literature, is a book that has meant a lot to me throughout the years, and I've returned to it throughout the years and read it again and again. I'm going to be reading a little bit of the work. Now, I'm probably horribly mispronouncing this man's name, Giovanni Guracci, who wrote the Don Camillo books, because again, although I'm not a religious person and the Camillo books are about a priest, I find them really interesting books and very inspirational books. And I'm going to be reading a bit from a science fiction author called Norman Spinrad, and I'm going to be reading a bit of his work, particularly from Little Heroes. And there is, depend on time, because I, one of the things I haven't fully done is timed this out, unfortunately. Usually I would, perhaps from Hunter S. Thompson's work as well.
Has reading always had a big part in your life?
Absolutely, that's why I've chosen to do it. I did think about what I was going to do on the plinth after I was given a place, and I thought the best thing to do would be something that has always been meaningful and important to me, and reading has always been that. Since I was very young, I've read and enjoyed reading and encouraged people to read, so I thought probably the most appropriate thing for me to do.
Where did the initial interest in reading come from?
I don't really know. I mean, my parents probably encouraged me. I don't remember, I was never forced to read, but I've always enjoyed reading. I actually started off, I guess, probably reading comics. I started off reading comics at a very early age. I moved on to reading books, but I never left reading comics. I still read comics. But that kind of started it, and I've always enjoyed books on a variety of levels and a variety of types of books, though I guess my favourite literature is still science fiction.
What is it about comics that's kept interest throughout your whole life?
Because they, although you can argue that they're often retelling the same stories, there is always different things happening, and there are new things coming out, and it's a totally different medium. It's a medium unto itself. I mean, a lot of people say, oh, comics, they're a bit like cinema on paper, but in fact they're not. They are, in fact, a different method of storytelling. And it's really, in the West, it really is Britain and America that are the countries that consider comics to be for children. Because if you go to Europe, there are big stores selling adult, and when I say adult, I do not mean having sexual contact, mature comic material for, of all sorts of things, and, you know, quite heftily priced, many of these volumes, and they're there because they are a medium of art. They're a medium of telling stories. I guess if I thought I could get away with reading out comics, I might have done that, but you really need to see the pictures when you're doing comics.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Aberdeen. Yeah, I actually, I grew up in Aberdeen. I went to university in Aberdeen. I actually did my postgraduate degree in Aberdeen, but I have been away from Aberdeen for a while doing various things. I worked in America for a bit. I've done field work in various places too.
What area did you grow up in?
Well, I grew up in mostly in a place called Torrey in Aberdeen, which is, well, it used to be a fishing community. It's not really a fishing community anymore because there's not really much fishing out of Aberdeen. But a lot of my side of the family, well, a lot of that side of the family that come from Torrey were skippers of fishing trawlers or worked on trawlers. And although I've never been on a trawler, that's kind of where I came from. Well, my father was a tradesman. He was a tile fixer by trade. He went through an apprenticeship and learned how to do that. So he used to travel across Britain and up in, occasionally, abroad doing trades things. My mother was a housewife most of the time, but she also went and qualified as a nurse, and she used to do nursing work.
What kind of childhood did you have?
I had a good childhood. I spent a lot of time reading. I spent a lot of time playing with friends. I had a very imaginative childhood and, you know, very supported by my family.
What direction did you go in after school?
Excuse me. After school, actually, I went into computing. My first ever job was working as a computer operator for British Petroleum. And I was in computing in the early days when we were still using punch cards. So programmers would come in with boxes of punch cards that had to be fed into the machines for programs. And as I worked there for, I was there for about 3 or 4 years. It's changed, computing changed rapidly and these things quickly disappeared. And I found myself doing things like running the backups for the early offshore management systems and things like that.
And after that?
After that, I worked as a manager of a bookshop. And after that, I decided that what I really had wanted to do all along was go to university. So I went to university and I did my first degree in social anthropology and sociology. And I did okay. I got a first class honors in that, and then I applied to Aberdeen University to do a PhD, and they said yes, and they were very generous. They funded my PhD. They said we will give you a grant to do this PhD, so they paid for it. I had to find my own accommodation, of course, obviously. So that was what I did. So if then I graduated that, I worked at Robert Gordon's University. I ran my own research company for a little while doing social research, and I lectured, and I've come back now and I'm working at Aberdeen University again, and I'm working as part of a thing called the Roberts Agenda, which is bringing skills to postgraduate researchers and postdoctoral researchers.
Where did the initial interest in anthropology
start? I went to university to do English. I went to university convinced that the thing I wanted to do was English. And in Scottish universities, and in most universities, I guess, you start off in your first year, you have to take 3 subjects. And I went, okay, I'm taking English, I know I'm taking English. I love history, so I'll take history. What am I going to take for my 3rd subject? And I looked around and there were these lists, and there was this course called social anthropology. And I looked at it, what it was about, and I went, well, that sounds kind of interesting, I'll take it as my 3rd course. I'll probably drop it in my 2nd year, but I'll do it for this year. And literally from the first week of lectures in anthropology, I dropped my idea of doing English and I knew that I wanted to do social anthropology. And from then on, that was it. That's what I was going to do. And that's what I did.
What did you choose to focus on in your PhD?
My PhD is about cultural identity. It's about how cultures are successful or unsuccessful in maintaining a unique cultural identity, looking at elements such as language, dress, myth, and how they use these, and how they sometimes break down and sort of stop you or help you maintain their cultural identity.
What does day-to-day life mean at the moment as far as work is concerned?
It's actually quite interesting. It's quite varied because my average day, it could be that I'm actually giving lectures or running training course workshops in a variety of areas. It could be creativity, it could be public engagement, presentation skills, or I could be designing new courses. I'm also involved with helping develop a new online personal development planning system for the university. I go out and talk to the graduate schools, supervisors, etc. So it's a wide variety of possible things. So it's actually quite interesting.
Aside from work, what's home life like at the moment?
Oh, it's great. I mean, you know, I'm very happy. I'm married. I've been married for 16 years this year, and we're fine. You know, we go on holidays when we share similar interests. So it's great.
What's your wife
like? She's terrific. My wife is American. She actually comes from Colorado originally. I met her when I was doing my PhD at Aberdeen University. Aberdeen University has, excuse me, sorry about this. Aberdeen University has an exchange program with the Great Lakes Universities. And she came across for a year abroad and we met. And I went to visit her in Ohio. She came to visit, because that's where her, I went to visit Colorado first and then in Ohio because that's where her university was. And then she came to visit me and then we decided to get married.
What kind of things do you do together?
Well, we go traveling. We like traveling together. We were just up to Orkney together. We like watching movies together. She also reads comics, so we discuss these sorts of things. We like the same sort of literature, so we discuss that. We game. We do a lot of gaming. We play board games and role-playing games together because we both have an interest in that. And I think possibly when I go back up, we're going to see about signing up for a club that teaches European sword fencing techniques. So she's quite keen on that, so I thought, well, I'll give it a go as well.
What's involved in the role-playing?
Well, role-playing is basically, I used to do this, I used to have to describe it for years to new freshers. It's kind of a combination of acting and chess, I used to say, because it's basically you create a character, and you'll be told there's what the background is, whether it's a fantasy background, a science fiction, or whatever. And the game master creates a story. And it's basically not just listening to somebody telling a story, it's interactive. What you do makes them change what their story is. So it's that. That's what it is. You, and there's variables put in by the fact that most role-playing games use dice to generate whether you're successful or not at what you've done, based upon stats and various other things.
Look into the future. Have you got any hopes or ambitions?
You know, it's one of the odd things that I've never really had terribly many ambitions. I mean, because I don't really think of myself as an ambitious person in the traditional sense. I'm very happy to always be doing the best I can possibly do, and certainly, you know, I'm not going to pretend I don't like more money. I'm always happy to get promotions and things like that and move ahead. But what I would like to see myself doing is continuing doing what I'm doing, hopefully improving it. I guess that would be my ambition, to be honest, yeah. Improving what I'm doing, moving ahead, making it a better experience. And I guess in my personal life, my personal life is actually, you know, very happy at the moment. So just, you know, making sure that it continues like that would be my ambition. She said I was very brave, and she's going to be staying up and watching me on the internet. So she said, yes, you're very brave to do this. And I went, well, you know, how many chances do you get to be part of a work of art? So I thought I might as well give it a go.
Have you ever done anything like this before?
No, I haven't actually, no.
Do you follow the arts? arts in general?
I do, but not as much as I used to, and that's mostly because of time. I don't really have enough time to do it anymore. I'm quite busy, so I am interested in the arts, but I don't really follow them as closely as I used to.
With this project, did the artist's intention to democratize art, this piece, have anything to do with you wanting to take part?
Yes, actually it did. I thought that, I mean, you get a lot of things, like in the past I followed a lot of things like performance art, and although some of it's really good, some of it I think is a bit overly personal in that I'm not sure how I'm supposed to understand what you're doing because it's too personal. I think this democratizing of it and, you know, opening up a performance or opening up a piece of art to all sorts of people is great. I've got to say, and I know this is being paid for by Sky Arts, but the one thing I saw recently that I didn't think fitted into the ethos of this project was the Sky Arts coverage of it, where they have people review plinthers and give a top five, because really that seems to go against the entire point. You shouldn't be saying that person did a good job or that person didn't. It should just be that's what they wanted to do.
Have you got anyone else watching?
Well, yeah, there's friends of mine in Aberdeen who will be watching as well, yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to gain from the experience of your hour out there?
I suppose, yeah. I mean, one of the things I think this is a test for me in is I'm used to speaking in lecture theatres and in classrooms and to groups of friends, as well as lecturing to students. But I've never really spoken out in the open to the general public before, and I think that's a nice challenge to set myself. And I'll be interested, I honestly don't know how well I'm going to do. I don't think I'll want to come down off the plinth, but I'm not sure if I would run out of material and have to sit down for part of it or not. So I'm interested to see how well that goes.
What about the people on the ground watching you? Have you thought about what you'd like them to think of you?
To be absolutely honest, I really don't care that much what they think about me. It's not as self-centered or I hope it's not as egotistical as it may sound. It's just that my intention is that I'll do the best I can. If they don't like it, I am kind of sorry they don't like it, but other people might, and you know, maybe I could have done better, maybe I can't, I don't know. All I can do is do the best I can.
You got anything else you'd like to add?
I'd just like to say, you know, I'm grateful for being chosen, and I really do appreciate being part of this project.
Brilliant, good luck.
Thank you.